I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, Westworld fans. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Westworld After Show. We are talking about Season 3, Episode 2, The Winter Line. We are coming to you guys all from our various homes because we are here under quarantine for safety reasons. But we are extra excited because joining us remotely as well, we have a very special guest, Simon Quarterman, a.k.a. Lee Sizemore himself is here.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
So not only will we be breaking down the episode and giving you guys all of our takes on it and talking to Lee for some behind the scenes juicy gossip as we're going through the episode as well, we'll also get to have a full breakdown and interview with him at the end as well too. So be sure to stick around for the full episode. Joining us, Nate Miller in the house. What up,
hey,
Nate?
What's up, guys?
And Alice Ford as well.
Hey guys, just enjoying the rain here in LA and in from the safety of my home, obviously.
And Carrie Lane will be joining us a little later on as well too. But just kicking us off, what did you guys think about this episode overall? Oh, Carrie's here. Welcome, Carrie.
Hello. I think that's so good, so satisfying, and I'm so excited to talk about it.
I'm very excited to talk about this episode. What did you guys think, Nate and Alice as well?
I just was wondering if we were ever going to get out of that loop, but I really liked the episode and I'm really excited from the previews for next episode of where we're going to see this go in the next episode too.
I thought it was really good. I'm enjoying the pace. I like we got to see where Maeve has been and kind of a catch up really quick. With a lot of information. I do have some questions, as always, about Delos security because it seems to be very spotty. But yeah, it was really cool to see Warworld. The teaser of Medieval World was also like super cool and nerdy. It was a good episode.
I really, really liked this episode. I was extra excited too when we found out that you, Simon, were going to be on the show. But was a little bit sad that we would be talking about your departure last season. So when I saw you back on the screen tonight, I let out an audible cheer, like, yeah, it's back. So what was it like for you watching this episode and kind of live up to what you were expecting it to be when you were filming it?
I've got to be honest with you. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, we're going to be spoiling some things.
I'm sorry, I haven't got around to it just yet, but I will.
No worries.
I did read an interview with Jonathan Nolan earlier today that said that this season was kind of like starting over for everyone. Did you have that same feeling for you when you went to shoot this season?
Well, you know, I knew I was going to come back. I got told, God, so long ago now, I can't remember. But so I knew I was coming back. I just didn't know in what capacity or how. So I kind of, you know, I was thinking a million and one things how I could possibly come back. And this was not in one of those million and one things I thought of. You know? And when I got told about it, you know, I was pretty surprised. So in terms of it being like a new start, I guess so. Yeah, he's become a new thing now. He's no longer human, so he's something else. And so, yeah, total clean slate, really. Believe.
This whole episode was something else too. So kind of diving into it. We'll break up kind of into the two storylines that they had. First, Bernard on his quest for Maeve. We saw last episode him hopping on the boat, sailing for Westworld. I was a little surprised with how quickly he got there. I thought it was going to be kind of more of a journey with the setup from last word, but it was just like, nope, we're here. I remember when this was awful. Bye. So. But yeah, it was, what did you guys think too of seeing this, the scene of him returning to Westworld and seeing the now burned Paramount Ranch that they incorporated into the storyline, and seeing the burnt church and everything as well.
It was almost nostalgic, like, oh, we're back, sort of. And it was kind of cool to be back again, but in a different way.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, obviously we had the two conflicting kind of storylines, timelines. So I was a little, I guess I was like searching for like, okay, well, where are they really? Because where's Maeve? And how do these two worlds that we're seeing on the screen interrelate? But yeah, I agree. He got there really fast. And then I was surprised that he saw all the other Bernards. And then, you know, seeing our friend there,
Ashley Stubbs.
Ashley, yeah.
I was glad to see Stubbs again. I was like, hey.
Yeah, it was cool to finally get confirmation that Stubbs is a host. I mean, we had a lot of clues last season and some theories in the first season, but there's no denying it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having the whole thing with them going to find Maeve and then finding that she's been kind of gutted and that her pearl has been removed, and this whole quest of where is Maeve, what is happening. I did really, really like, though, the Game of Thrones reference with the cameo with D.B. Weiss and David. What did you guys think of that? And did you know that that was going to happen, Simon? Because I know fans have been really, since the beginning of Westworld, have been asking, oh, is there ever going to be any crossover? Are we going to see it with these two big HBO shows? So I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I was there when those guys were shooting that that scene. So we met them. It was cool. I think it was a lot of fun moment for sure.
I was definitely excited when I saw them. I was like, oh my God, is that a dragon? And I definitely got really excited because I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan as well.
I actually didn't know who they were, but I was like, well, they have a fantasy land too, the medieval land. So sure, there's dragons. But then I'm like, oh yeah, duh, Game of Thrones. I thought that was actually really cool.
I liked having the Westworld theme on the loot too. Like, I liked that. I think, that's what I was like.
A touch.
It added some much needed levity, I think, too, because everything is so intense with these episodes and where we are in the storyline too. This show is just so brilliant about adding in the perfect amount to where it's not, you know, it doesn't detract from the storyline, but it just enhances and kind of gives you that chuckle moment to break it up a little bit. But yeah, this whole thing with him taking the battle axe and then fighting them off, then ultimately going to the boat and being reprogrammed. What did you guys think about that, that scene too, where Bernard reprograms Ashley and then ultimately, you know, Ashley says, look, if you wanted my help, you could have just asked for it. Well, do you think that he's kind of turning towards free will, or do you think that was written in to his code?
I thought it was really interesting that Bernard, when he first sees Stubbs, says, oh, you're one of them. And then he corrects himself and says, I mean, you're one of us. So I was kind of like, that's interesting. I mean, we obviously know he's a host still, but I was like, is that an Easter egg for like something down the road that we should be paying attention to? But yeah, I don't know that Stubbs has much free will. I think he has a little bit, but obviously not to the extent of some of the other characters. And I think he obviously still needs help to act outside of the world of Westworld. So I think it was necessary that Bernard, you know, had to do that reprogram.
I think it was necessary for Bernard to do that, to probably go surpass what Stubbs' programming is at this point. But I appreciate that Stubbs intellectually is like, you could have asked me, especially because Bernard, you know, he's had his own journey of free will. So it was kind of a nice playful jab, but like a, hey, come on now.
That's true.
So ultimately, this whole thing has been the quest for Maeve, who we got a little bit of the post-credit teaser last episode, that she's in this war world that we see, and then gets reunited with Hector, aka Ettore. What did you think about this whole thing of Hector being caught in this loop as well and not being cognizant of his reality, even though it is like kind of a fake world within another fake world within, you know, like this whole construct? But what did you think emotionally? What was your gut reaction when we reintroduced this character and then ultimately kind of he's not exactly what Maeve was expecting?
Bittersweet. Similar to how Maeve feels, like she's happy to see him and have his company, but it's not really him. So I like that she gets to the point of thank you, but ciao, bye.
Yeah, I mean, whoever is writing the program obviously was hoping that this would continue to like break her heart, which she obviously figures out is just some sort of ulterior motive in trying to do that exact thing. So it's very interesting.
I don't know. I read it kind of differently. I feel like the whole point of the program is, like we saw, is for her to wake up and make her way out so that Lee can lead her to the Forge to get information. So I think maybe in some regards, Hector is there because it's a familiar face and she might feel slightly more comfortable, but I don't think the romance aspect is as much important to the simulation, because the whole point of the simulation is that she's supposed to wake up, half wake up to not wake up, to go with Lee to the Forge to get this info that they're trying to extract from her.
That's a good
point.
I kind of, as soon as he started talking about his plan, I was like, all right, well, he's still in a loop. He hasn't awoken the way that she was. I did not see it coming that they were all in a simulation. Although when they did get to the Forge, I was like, all right, wait a minute. Maeve was never here. Why is he asking these questions? And then, of course, it all kind of crumbles around them and she realizes. Very cool reveal. On one hand, I feel like kind of lied to, because they've made this whole precedent of all the simulation stuff is in the letterbox, like, so you can tell. But yeah, I also understand from a narrative perspective of why you wouldn't necessarily reveal that right away. And it kind of works, because as Maeve realizes she's in the simulation, that's when the visuals change. So I was okay with it. I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, I definitely was thinking when we started, well, when obviously in the simulation, I was trying to decide, is this like different timelines? Is this a simulation? I was trying to figure it out too, and I didn't guess that it was a simulation either.
I think they've done a really, really good job this season too, because there have been so many fan theories about what is the real world and what is simulation, and they've done just a perfect job of just messing with us and making it where we can't understand. This one especially was just an emotional roller coaster, because we get the return of Hector, and we're all excited, and then, oh, it turns out he's not actually cognizant, and this sad letdown. But then, oh, yay, Lee's back, and he's saving Maeve. And then, oh, wait, that's not actually Lee. Lee actually did die. This is just another.
So, when he first came on screen, I was like, there's no way he's still alive. There's no way. And then I'm like, all right, well, maybe they replaced him with some robot parts to, like, keep him alive. But in the end, I'm like, okay, this makes a lot more sense.
You'd think I would be less gullible after the last two seasons, but I definitely was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I have good insurance. And like, he probably was like in the hospital for a long time and is fine.
It's all about the benefits.
That's right.
I mean, I do like though that they had that scene too, Simon, where your character flat out is like, if you work here, you get great benefits. And I've got like that. So I did buy it.
Yeah. And so I liked how they created many breadcrumbs, you know, for you to pick up along the episode that things weren't necessarily kind of like completely all there, you know, with Sylvester and Felix, and they didn't
recognize. They don't recognize.
Yeah. You know,
just those little moments throughout the episode, which little breadcrumbs to really what's going on.
It was really, I think, a testament to your acting skill, because you would act differently as we were finding out more, like the way that you would walk, like, because I went back and rewatched those scenes and watching, like, where at first you're like, oh, this is a man who's just injured. And then it became a little bit more robotic as we're getting closer to. So what was that like for you when you're the process? Because I imagine, you know, shooting all of this out of order, getting all of those little nuances down must have been a challenge.
Yeah, but I mean, you're kind of just playing it as present as you possibly can within the confines of the scene that you're working with. It's because for Lee himself, he's going through a period of like self-discovery, and you know, and like all of this is crumbling around him too, you know, his whole so it's quite interesting that there's within the programming and even in the simulation, there's opportunity for sentience, you know, there's opportunity for him to discover and to grow and to kind of like actually move from that programming. So it's a must be a very pliable program that can be programmed as they go along.
Yeah, the whole inference by that simulation, it's much deeper than just introducing us to Maeve and like what she's been up to. The idea that, assumingly, as we met at the episode, Serac is behind this. Not only does he, for some reason, want Maeve to fight against Dolores, but he also is after the information that was in the Forge that got sent off into space, because mm-hmm. that's what the whole point of the simulation is. That too, knowing, you know, when it first happened, I'm like, okay, now wait a minute, the cradle's destroyed. So this means there is another incredibly powerful simulation computer out there that is able to process this, the human data that we saw from the Forge in the first episode, to create these lifelike simulations like Lee is. Because you look at him and then you look at Delos last season and it's like, all right, well, how does he work when Delos didn't work? But it's because it's the simulation. He didn't have the cognitive dissonance of like being in a host body. So there's a lot of really interesting conceptual stuff coming just from that sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I love too the whole theme of her saying, you know, none of this matters because it's not real, and then shooting herself in the head in the simulation, but then awakening up in the other simulation and being stopped by Lee when she's saying, you know, basically like, if none of this is real, then it doesn't matter and I understand the nature of my reality, but then realizing that she doesn't actually understand the nature of her reality, and that might not be a bad thing because regardless of her situation, she's still cognizant of what her goals are. So it's a really, really interesting dynamic that they play with. So really, really cool scene. I also really like too how the Forge kind of dissipates, and you know, we're getting this whole the quest for answers and this like glitch out. But Lee's, as you were mentioning, Simon, Lee's self-realization. And this whole kind of journey for him of him saying, you know, I'm a copy of myself, I've been plagiarized, but also realizing that the person he was based off of, that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And this kind of poetic justice that comes within it. So what was that like for you kind of playing that scene and finding all those beats?
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, it's I kind of like had to just take it from Lee's journey right from the start, you know, the start from the first season all the way through the second season. And even this, even though he's like a simulation, there's still a continuation of his journey that he's been already through the past. You see, there's a through line with him, even in his death and in this simulation. So coming across these moments that we kind of had to hit, the only way that I could really do it was kind of like, was just play it as if it was just happening right in the moment. It's like you had to take your mind out of it, really, of trying to working it out and just kind of doing it, really, you know, and just being as present as you could be in the scene.
Otherwise, it becomes too complex and everything freezes, right?
Yeah.
That was a really cool, again, like really cool conceptual way of, if you're in a simulation and you can't really control it, but you have some influence over it, how do you break it? And it, I mean, it's a very simple solution to a complex problem of you just max out the processing power and then it, and then it starts to fail. It was really, really smart.
Yeah. So
do you guys think that everyone is in this simulation, or is it just Maeve and everyone else has been programmed?
Just Maeve and everybody else is programmed, I think, because I think it's that they're trying in this particular simulation, because I think they're trying to extract this this information.
I agree that I think, especially in this specific one, that it might just be her. But the inference with we saw with all the other control units is that if they're not in a shared simulation, then there's a bunch of simulations going on for, you know, God knows what. But that's a really good question.
We could also this other ways of getting information. And yeah, it's one of those who knows what it is. But I guess I would go to Maeve's in her own. And then the others either are groups or individuals as well.
Yeah, and they're trying to get to the Forge with every single simulation of every single character that had something bad to do in the last revolt, I guess.
I mean, I would imagine, given what we know about Rehoboam. This might be part of how they are, you know, predicting the future, seeing these divergences, is running these massive, you know, quantum simulations based on information they've gathered from, you know, humans and hosts in the park. And it, I think it's safe to assume that this is connected to them, to Insight, given Serac at the end.
I think that it is really interesting, though, that with Lee's character in particular, that Maeve points out that they did an almost perfect job. They got most of the mannerisms down, but the main thing that they extrapolated that they lost was the humanity, and that Lee wasn't helping her to get something in return. He was helping her because he was a genuinely good person. And that was something that they weren't able to factor in when they were simulating it, was that he had this growth and he had this arc. So I'm really glad that they were able to bring back, not only to see you again, Simon, but also bring in that character, to also bring in the point that whoever created this simulation doesn't quite understand why somebody would help someone without getting anything in return. And I think that that's a pretty big reflection of who created this.
So it also, it's I think the thing that was the final kind of like twig for Maeve was the kiss, because that's not what Lee and her relationship was. That's the thing that they got wrong. They thought that it was a, you know, something sexual between them, and that was not the case at all. It was a more just a love, you know.
I was surprised.
Respect, exactly.
I feel like I was surprised that they didn't opt for guilt with that explanation, because the scene, there's a scene in the hallway in the second season where Hector and Maeve are talking about something, and Lee is like, you're not programmed for this. This is not how, you know, you're supposed to work. And he gets this like realization of like, oh my God, they're like alive. And then I think, at least for me, I interpreted that as he assists them throughout the rest of the season, that he is feeling guilty because he's realizing that he has had this massive control over things that can feel, and he's subjected them to terrible, terrible things.
Yeah, it's I think it's interesting to note that, you know, that with Lee being like the head of narrative, so he's the creator of all these stories, you know, and in the first season, like those, he gets really het up that, you know, there's some posts that are glitching and stuff and messing with his narratives, you know, they're messing with his stories. The second season, he sees those stories just break completely and like sees this free will. And then this third season, like, so he's just finding his stories are all crumbling away. And then the third season, it's like, the biggest story, I guess, who he is, kind of like crumbles. So it's been a whole process of him just letting go of all his control, like you were saying, you know.
That is really interesting, looking at it that way, of him being fully in control to then losing control to then being controlled.
And that's the thing. And he comes back right at the very end of the episode. He comes to kind of acceptance, you know, of where he's at, that he's no longer around. He's dead. And it's quite a beautiful journey that he's kind of been on it, I feel.
Well, thank you for bringing us that journey as well. It's been incredibly fun for us to watch you on screen.
But welcome.
Now, Liu is one of my favorite characters from the start, especially, you know, with a show that can be really deep and theoretical and serious. He's always brought great comic relief. so many great one-liners.
Yeah,
so many great quotes. Relentless fucking experience.
Yeah, that's a good one. I also liked, I wrote that line for you in the second season.
Yeah.
I like that.
We've got many, many good one-liners for sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that last one.
I said it's been a lot of fun playing him, like a lot of fun.
Now, after we kind of say goodbye to Lee in this episode too, Maeve wakes up again after Harriet has been gunned down, which is a really surprisingly dramatic scene, even though it's not like a realistic human robot, seeing Harriet run and almost get away with Maeve's consciousness and then be gunned down was pretty gutting emotionally, I thought. But then what did you guys think about her waking up at this house and finally meeting the elusive Sarek? And do you guys think that this is real life or is this another simulation? Because they do have that wall art that is kind of a replica of the divergence notifications we've been getting throughout this season.
I think it's real life only because he does freeze her with that button that Bernard had for himself at the end of the episode. And is like, I had to make some sort of safety protocol in case you did this. So I do think this is finally like her in real life. And obviously that was either his program or somebody else's program trying to get the information, as we've talked about already, from her as to where the forge is. I also want to say that house that they were in was like, I mean, amazing. And I read that was one of the, like, an architect that either worked for the show or had some relationship, mm-hmm. An old concrete factory. So that was like my one drool moment, I think, of that scene.
It's a cool house.
If I had to imagine a perfect house, a dream house for Alice, it would be that house.
I would turn the concrete funnels into like a slide or something.
I thought that scene was really interesting. I feel like that first piece that we see, I don't know if it's art. I read it as like a screen, like he's been reading the divergence or whatever showing up in there. Because I think it was moving. I believe it was moving.
Was it?
I thought it was stationary.
Maybe I was drinking too much. It's very, very interesting that we get this whole thing with the simulation. They shoot this robot as she's trying to escape. He gets to speak to her. And instead of mentioning anything about, hey, so I know you're not Dolores and you didn't send the forge off, but did you have any idea about where it went? Like, he just switches straight gears into, all right, by the way, I need you to go kill Dolores, which makes me think maybe this is like some time has passed. Maybe the simulation thing was like, you know, a couple weeks, months ago, whatever. And after they've got the results of like, all right, well, clearly she wasn't the one there. Then, cause he mentioned something about there was another anomaly or something to that effect that they didn't account for. So I guess maybe he's figured out, well, maybe I can use you for this instead.
That would make sense. Because it seems like Bernard is kind of on the same quest that Sarek is on, which is just stop Dolores from ending humanity. So anyone they can.
Yeah, you did just make me think about the fact that, like, why isn't Dolores, or is she potentially like doing these simulations on them, which would be really crazy, but she also wants to find out if anyone's trying to stop her, I think. So it could be a theory.
Looking at the live chat, we have a live chat going if you're watching live. Davey Elmer makes a good point. Given that Tarak said that he wasn't actually in control of Roboam any longer, to the idea that that's not who's responsible for the simulation. I'm curious how involved it'd be, but then also with the architecture, Ricardo Bofill is a famous Spanish architect, and they're able to get permission to film in a concrete factory he built and turned it into a work of art.
It's definitely,
which I like too, since, yeah, and the whole theme is about the work of art, like even Lee saying, you know, don't let Maeve kill herself because she's my work of art. So I really, really liked this episode overall. I thought this was a really, really satisfying one that still left me wanting to know what's going to happen next. So what were your, any last thoughts on this episode before we kind of dive into a little interview here with Simon?
It was just so great to see so many characters that we haven't seen yet. And it was nice to have them back in different ways. And I want to see more of them, and hopefully we will see more of them. So I'm excited. It was very satisfying and makes you want more at the same time.
I will say that I was wondering near the end there where that new kind of like Westworld 2.0 mainframe factory or whatever we want to call it was located, because obviously not on the island anymore. Definitely a different place, either in the world or somewhere else. So I'm interested to see where that is, and find out more information about it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, especially the end. Maeve's character has been incredibly consistent, so I was going to be a little disappointed, especially after the trailers of, you know, we know that he's going to ask her for help. So I was very pleased that she wasn't just like, okay, sure, I'll do whatever you want. Like, it seems like there's going to be some actual logical convincing going on to get her to see his point of view, which I'm really curious about. Again, I do have to mention, I hate to be that guy, I have some questions about Daedalus security, how easy it was to get on the island, move throughout the park, up through all the levels. They just like run away from Stubbs when he has a battle axe and they have automatic weapons. But outside of that stuff, it was really cool. It was good, really good catch up for Maze's character, and sets up a lot for, you know, what else is going to happen this season.
That also makes you wonder, is that intentional? Because it seems like when something is logically,
I give this show more than enough faith to finish out the rest of the season and get some answers to those questions.
Yeah, I'm excited to see if Charlotte Hale ends up like going to a return trip to Westworld and shows us like what's left of it, so that we can see without a simulation what's really there.
That's a good point. That would be interesting. We'd have a gauge of what reality is.
Yeah. I'm sure it won't happen.
Well, I mean, we saw the park with Bernard and Stubbs.
Right. Well, that's what we're saying, but we could tell if we saw somebody else, we could see it juxtaposed versus their filter of reality to decipher which one was actually real.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Or reinforce, I mean, like we can find out, like if it obviously looks completely different, then it might be a simulation that Bernard was in, and that might be why he was able to navigate security so easily.
I'm gonna because be really
he
upset
may have been hacked as well.
May thinks we've gone off the deep end here.
I think it's a little too tinfoily hat for me.
Westworld is all in.
Let me get my tinfoil hat. I'll be right back.
There can only be so many. Oh, it was a simulation reveal. You do that too many times, and then people are gonna check out.
Well, I know that luckily nobody has been checking out of our show, because they've all been hanging on so that we can interview Mr. Simon Quarterman. If you guys have questions in the chat too, be sure to shout them out to us and let us know. But first, Simon, I wanted to ask you, when did you mentioned that you knew you were going to be coming back. But when you were kind of killed off last season, did they tell you right away this was not the end for you? Or did you have kind of a time in between, like a little actor's purgatory of not knowing if you were going to return to the show?
Kind of. I've got, again, Jonah and Lisa are all about the breadcrumbs. You know, they'll sprinkle you a little something, but they won't give you the whole piece. And so I think they had some plans to bring me back. So I was kind of like maybe 60-40 that I was going to be back. And then about a few months later, I found out that I was coming back. Yeah.
When did you find out how you were going to return? Was it right before filming, or did you have some time to kind of settle into it?
Yeah, we went in to do some rehearsals, and Lisa pulled me into her office and sat me down and explained what was going to be happening in the episode. And I didn't see it coming whatsoever. Absolutely not. But it was a lot of fun to kind of like jump into and do. Yeah, a lot of fun.
And you guys filmed in Spain too, right?
We did, yeah. We took over this little village, Besalú, and took it all over, really. And they did an incredible job. Like, there was that square that we were in, that was like, there was loads of stores and there, loads of shops and stuff, and they covered them all up and just made it look like, you know, I had no idea there were even stores there, to be honest, when I got there. It's quite amazing what they did.
Did you get to keep any of the production design? Did they let you keep anything, like any cool props or wardrobe?
I've got my rehearsal cane, but not the proper cane, but I've got a rehearsal one.
So I like even... Wait, what?
That's about all I could get was my rehearsal cane. But that'll do, I'll take it.
I like that even your prop isn't the real prop. It's the simulation prop that you get to keep. Exactly. So. Nothing in Westworld is real, not even the souvenirs.
Yeah.
What was your favorite scene in this episode to shoot?
I think it must have been the reveal, you know, of him being... It was just such a rich and fun scene to play, you know, and there was a lot going on there, I think. And, you know, and Tandy and I, we have such fun working together, you know. And I think the other scene as well, when I think it's directly after that, when we're in my office and, you know, and she finds all the drawings. So I think little obsession that I've created for Maeve. That was a lot of fun to shoot too.
If we got to see you in kind of this 1943 Germany setting here, but if you could choose any world to visit, if Westworld was real and you could go visit, what world would you choose?
What, that's already there? Or that we've seen.
You can make it up. Like, I mean, we've seen Samurai World, we've seen West World, we've seen War World, but we assume there's just an almost limitless amounts of what the worlds could be. So if you could choose any to be one that you would visit, what would you choose?
Maybe a world that was like made up completely of cartoons. I don't know. Like Cartoon World.
That would be cool.
Sign me up.
That'd be cool.
Would you want to be a cartoon?
Roger Rabbit world.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I love that. And I also wanted to talk a little bit too, because you had a movie that was supposed to premiere March 14th at South by Southwest. Of course, with everything happening in the world now for safety precautions, that was canceled. But tell us a little bit about Violet, this movie with Olivia Munn and a just amazing cast too, Justin Theroux. You play a character called Martin.
Yeah. It's a really interesting little film about a woman who's kind of like starts discovering the and really hearing the voice in her head and what it might mean to kind of like go against what that voice might be saying. It's an interesting little film.
Do you see it when it finally comes out, when all this is over?
Yeah, it'll find its place. I'm sure it's going to be, I'm looking forward to seeing how it kind of like shows up, if it's, you know, South by Southwest again, or wherever it might kind of like find a home, but I'm sure it will.
Do you have anything you're doing while you're staying at home these next couple of weeks, like learning or acting or anything you can share with us?
Not really, not doing a lot, to be honest, much like most of us. You know, it's a peculiar time. It really is. I'm just kind of like, I mean, just being, really. There's not much to do else, you know, but trying to keep fit as well during this whole period, best I can, but no real plans.
Staying safe and staying secluded. That's really all anybody can ask.
All we can do, yeah.
We'll all see how many YouTube workout videos we can get through by the end.
So I was kind of curious too, with walking with the cane, there's sometimes actors that get, they hurt themselves because you're doing such a repetitive action for long. In doing some of that posture, did ever you have to, like, you know, go get a massage or go to the chiropractor after, or do some extra stretching?
Not really. I mean, it just kind of like felt a little bit, because you when you're offsetting all of your weight onto one leg, it takes a little moment to kind of like get that thing going again. But because you're not doing it for a huge amount of time in between takes, you know, I'm just walking normally, so it was fine.
Ask it.
Did you display the cane anywhere in your house, or do you just have it kind of off to the side somewhere?
It's tucked away somewhere secret.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
No problem. It's been lovely to meet you all.
It's so lovely to meet you. Now, I know we're all wondering, and I know that you can't really spoil it for us, but we're hoping that we'll get to see more of Lee in the future on the show as well. Mm. So diving into some of our predictions right now, what do you guys think that we're going to see coming up? We got a little teaser for next episode where we know we're going to see some more of Dolores and maybe get the answer of who is in Charlotte Hale's body. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys think we're going to see coming up this season?
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to find out more about Charlotte Hale. And in last week's chat, I will reference that a lot of people actually talked about who they thought was in Charlotte Hale's body and or who was in Dolores's body. So I think we're going to find that out in the next episode, or at least have some more information about it. And we'll be able to make some hypothetical predictions based on that. So we'll see. But I'm excited to see what we learn in the next episode.
It does seem like whoever's in Charlotte isn't really happy about it. So I'm wondering if they'll turn against Dolores and either be on their own thing or maybe join Maeve.
That's a possibility.
I like that.
I'm really curious to see if we go back to the park again, or if this is kind of like the last time that we retread that old territory. And then to see what Bernard and Stubbs plan to do. I mean, ultimately, I think the path leads toward Maeve. They just have to find her. But them getting the information on Liam is a great start. Predictions. I don't know. I have been looking at the list of hosts, and I can't even make a good guess at who could be in Hale's body. Like, all of the obvious candidates are incapacitated or too obvious. So. I don't know.
Now, could she have made a copy of herself and have like two of herself?
It's possible.
I mean, yeah, but theoretically.
Like, it just seems like it'd be weird if there was a whole like Dolores army. It's like,
right. Wow.
But I guess Simon, if What would you like to see in the ultimate finale for this season? Do you want to see basically the host take over, or do you think that humanity has a fighting chance?
You know, I'm always going to side with humanity, really. Got it.
Fair.
Humanity, all the way.
Well, on that note, what is the robot devices that everyone can keep up with you guys on? Still preserving our humanity, but via social media. Where can everybody keep up with you guys?
Well, you guys can keep up with me at Alice L. Ford on Twitter and Alice Ford Adventures here on YouTube and everywhere else too.
You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Guys, you can find me everywhere at Dog Like Nate.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And Simon, where can we keep up with you as well?
You can't, I'm afraid. I'm not on any of it.
Oh!
It's a man of mystery.
I'm afraid so.
Undownloadable. You've learned. You've learned from your character. Don't let the machines take over. Oh, well, thank you so much again for coming on and joining us. And thank you guys all for watching our Westworld After Show. We will be back again, same time, same place next week. Until then, have a good one. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.